what specific gifts are exclusively to the role of deaconship. But this function in the church does have specific biblically based qualifications that are mandates in the calling of a deacon to officially lead the congregation in the ministry of service. A lot of you know that I absolutely love my 1879 silver dollars. And if you ever look at a silver dollar, especially back this Morgan silver dollar, it reminds me a lot that this two sides of the silver dollar is much like our church. On the one side, there's a healthy eagle, joyfully spreading its wings. But on the other side, there's a figure of a person that represents pain, growing pains. Such was the case in the early church chronicled in the book of Acts. You see, the church in Jerusalem was increasing with great joy. They were healthy and they were strong, like that eagle. But at the same time, the expansion of the congregation was causing pain, painful problems that needed to be resolved quickly and fairly. God's solution involved the ordination of seven men to serve. Today, God's solution in dealing with growing pains in church, in our church, is still the same. Men and women who are of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and we call them deacons. Please follow along with me as we read about the calling of these humble servants who were set apart to serve all in the church. We find this in the book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in numbers, that means the congregation, the Hellenists, which were the Greek-speaking believers, murmured about the Hebrews. Now, these were local Hebrew-speaking believers who spoke Aramaic. And it was because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Keep in mind, in those days, all properties go to the males, and it's the women who have to depend upon their husbands, if they die, depending upon their sons, in order to be able to have their daily needs met. And you have a lot of these widows who have no husband, they have no sons to take care of them. They are there in the church. They have an immediate need. But because they were Greek-speaking, and I don't think it was an evil intent, it was just an issue of culture and translation, but they were being neglected in their needs. Keep in mind, they're adding thousands and thousands to the church. And the 12 summoned the body of the disciples, that's the congregation, and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching of the word to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this duty." And what they said pleased the whole multitude. In other words, the whole congregation. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. You will recall who Stephen is. Stephen was the first Christian martyr of the church. And Philip the evangelist, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now, it should be noted here, in reading of those names, that these are all Greek names. Isn't that interesting that the church in Jerusalem and the Lord inspired the congregation to pick out 7 Greek-speaking men to do this very important task? What a great example of working together as a congregation. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands upon them. In other words, just like an ordained pastor, these men were called out to a specific direct calling, set apart and ordained to this ministry, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests, the Hebrew, the Jewish priests, were obedient to the faith. In other words, the example, they couldn't help themselves. As Lori talked about with the children's message, you can't substitute for Jesus. May the Lord bless you and me in the reading of His Word. Governance of the church. Governance of the church is from the Lord, that is passed directly down to the congregation. On the other hand, deacons are selected for specific tasks, not as an authoritative supervisory position or status, but rather as a call of servanthood in helping the pastor and the ministerial staff so that the word of God may increase and the making of disciples may multiply greatly. In the constitution of First Baptist Church of Piedmont, under the duties describing our deacons, it reads in part, "In accordance with the meaning of work and practice in the New Testament, deacons are the servants of the church. The task of the deacon is to serve with the pastor and staff in performing ministerial duties, proclaiming the gospel to believers and unbelievers, caring for the church members and other persons in the community, leading the church to engage in a fellowship of worship, witness, education, ministry, and application of New Testament principles." That is powerful. That is right on. It is very important that each and every one of us remain in constant and continuous prayer for our deacons as they strive to fulfill their role and complete their tasks in serving all. Deacons are God's response to the growing pains of the church. Because, number one, they allow your pastor and the ministerial staff to keep the preaching and the leading of the church in becoming a praying community as a top God-given priority. Our deacons free me up, free up Lori and all the ministerial staff, just like these 7 men did for the apostles, to reading of the Word, studying of the Word, preaching the Word, teaching the Word. Our deacons, number two, they contribute to a healthy balance between pastoral leadership and congregational organization when it comes to developing a strategy of ministry. They not only allow, they not only contribute, but our deacons develop their maturity as disciples through service by exercising their spiritual gifts as they partner with the pastor in ministering to the congregation. The church is very, very fortunate that God has given congregations specific qualifications for deaconship. The job of deacon is to serve the church in practical ways and care for the physical needs of the poor and the needy in the church. Selecting those who are not qualified or simply those who only want to do a mediocre job of the tasks at hand, rather than serving as unto the Lord in all things, it will only do damage that hurts them and the body of Christ. In your bulletin, you have in there, in the center of your bulletin, kind of a closer look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, specifically addressing verses 8 through 13. The qualifications for deacons, which translated means one who serves, are that they must be sincerely above reproach in their character and their home life. Now, if you notice there, in the part that is addressing male deacons, these men must be above reproach in their character and their home life. First, they must be a man of dignity. They must not be double-tongued. Deacon must not be addicted to much wine. A deacon must not be fond of sordid gain, which means dishonest, finding shortcuts, having more of an interest in money. Fifth, a deacon must hold to the mystery. That's the central truths of the faith. In other words, a deacon needs to have considerable spiritual depth and maturity in the gospel, with a clear conscience. In other words, a lifestyle that is consistent with what they believe and what they preach. Do their lives match up with what they say? And sixth, a deacon must first be tested and found to be above reproach and not called to account. And also it references in their home life a husband of only one wife, a one-woman man, referring to a man of moral purity in thought and in deed, and a good manager of their children and their households. These are not my rules. These are not my qualifications or guidelines. It is straight from God's Word. And the bottom line is, woe to the church that selects deacons based upon what they may call traditions rather than on Scripture. Recognizing female deacons, these serious women must model godliness and faithfulness in all things. They must be dignified. In other words, they don't goof off. They cannot be malicious gossipers. They must be temperate. In other words, that female deacon is marked by moderation and limits and is able to make sound judgments. And number four, they must be faithful in all things. In other words, they must follow through with all the tasks that are given them, that they just don't give up halfway through the tasks. You can count on them to follow their assigned tasks all the way through. As a consequence, deacons who are obedient to their calling and remain steadfast in their humble service to all, each one of them will receive a reward of high standing and great confidence in the faith, both now, here on earth, as well as in heaven to come. Every deacon is called and set apart by God in the role as ministers of mercy to lead the ministry of service to all. In fact, our deacons are the foundation of all ministry in the church. Let me repeat that. Our deacons are the foundation of all ministry in the church. Deaconship is the capacity and capability in order for First Baptist Church of Piedmont to fulfill its mission of proclaiming the gospel, making disciples, and serving others. One of the very important plans our deacons have implemented to help our church members develop and maintain a healthy relationship with the church so that they can grow in their faith and commitment here at First Baptist Church is the Deacon Family Ministry Plan. Pray for your assigned deacon. Talk to your assigned deacon. And talk to them about how you can help them be successful in completing their very important task in our church. A truly humble servant is not so concerned. Now this is very, very important. I want to make it very clear. There are at least 16 different spiritual gifts. And I believe that there are more, but most spiritual gift surveys only address 16 of them. And I've talked about three of them that are specifically geared towards service. But please do not misunderstand me. Every single one of those spiritual gifts can be used as a serving in the role and tasks of deaconship. They just have to have a humble, contrite, and servant heart. The same kind that Jesus said that I came not to be served, but to serve others. And some may say, I can't be a deacon because I'm embarrassed or I don't know what to say. Well, I want to tell you, there's a part of Scripture that the Lord took me to that I want to make very clear that you don't have to have elegant words. One of the very important plans are a truly humble servant is not so concerned with how well he or she speaks, but rather focuses in on the what or the who they are speaking about. The message rather than the popularity of the messenger. Don't say, I can't. Because if you say that, you're basically saying, because I don't believe that God can in and through me. Paul demonstrated his reliance upon the Spirit when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5, he said this, and when I came to you, brothers and sisters, now this is an apostle talking, I did not come as someone superior in speaking ability or wisdom, as I proclaim to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I also was with you in weakness and fear and in great trembling. And my message and my preaching were not persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of mankind, but on the power of God. If you meet the qualifications of deacons as set out in Scripture, God has given this congregation the power directly from Christ. to select our deacons. Like Paul, you may feel shy or intimidated or not good at public speaking. But if you are resolved that the most important message is about Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross, then simply allow the Holy Spirit to demonstrate your faith through God's power by being obedient to the call of deaconship and humbly serve those in need in our church community. If you have surrendered yourself to be a servant of Christ, then be willing to serve faithfully when asked. In 2 weeks, our church, as Al pointed out, thank you, Al, for lifting that up in prayer. In 2 weeks, our church will be conducting an election of 4 deacons to serve this congregation for the next 2 years. Our congregation needs your work of faith. Our church needs your labor of love. Our church needs your perseverance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Always remember, He chose you, and He will give you His power through the Holy Spirit to serve with full conviction. For those members of our church who are uncertain whether you'll be able to physically attend on Sunday, July 25th, you can obtain, complete, and submit an absentee ballot from the church office between now and Friday, July 23rd. Discerning the Lord's will as to whom He has chosen to fill this role, I am asking for each one of you to continue to pray. More specifically, I would ask you to join me wherever you are, from noontime to 12:15 on Monday, July 19th, and each day thereafter until Sunday, July 25th. I'm just asking for 15 minutes wherever you are during that week to specifically pray for the Lord's guidance in this election process. Much like Stephen, the first Christian martyr, and Philip, the evangelist, if you'll recall when he ran down to the Ethiopian eunuch, and these were 2 of the 7 who were first called in Acts chapter 6. One of our deacons, George O'Brien, is on a missionary trip across the country. Please keep him in prayer as he journeys to share the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Several individuals have already given their hearts to Jesus, as George, who is one of our deacons, simply tells them what Christ has done for them already on the cross. If anyone here in our sanctuary, in the Lord's sanctuary, or watching online, if you have never received Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, you can come forward now and receive the Lord's free gift of salvation. You see, He's already done it on the cross. There is no substitute for the forgiveness of our sins. Allow Christ to set you free and provide you with the Holy Spirit in order that you can be able to put on the full armor of God, to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and exercise your spiritual gifts graciously, yet responsibly, that have been given to you to use in building up of the church community in and through your life. God has an eternal plan for you. You just need to come to Him today and ask. God longs for you to experience an intimate relationship with Him. He is waiting for you. You come.